Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows, sports, friendships.
Tea cozies.
Correct. Those are the only things.
There we go, yes.
Some of them aren't even things we talk about.
Well, we've never talked about friendship. This is a friendship-free zone.
Absolutely it is. Mm.
It's called show business, not show friends.
Exactly.
And one day we'll be in show business.
It's not the show friends.
It's not the show friends. Certainly not, no.
Do you think Friends is better than How I Met Your Mother? Where is she?
There
no. She is.
Okay. You know, you always forget to introduce us, have you
noticed? Oh, sorry. My name's James.
It's, you know, Mr. what? Because you're messing with the formula. You're messing with success. You've gone mad with, not power.
Indifference.
Indifference. Some sort of brain injury you've suffered that you've not told me about.
Mr. Sunday Movies, yep. Me, Nick Mason.
Correct.
Both of us.
Yep.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay.
You happy?
No. I want to start again, but we have a no start again policy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you know ABC have renewed a couple of popular Marvel shows? Agent Carter, it's coming back.
Oh, it is coming back. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. It was kind of, it wasn't touch and go, but they just didn't say anything about it for a while. Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a once-off or might have been. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back for season 3. It will be. Apparently it's good. You know what though? I think I've realized the pattern.
Yes.
People say it's good whenever a movie comes out. Uh-huh. Like it's good now because it's the movies. And then there's like 14 episodes of nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There's 14 episodes of people running around office buildings and like old ships or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, it's great. If you like it, that's good. And if a lot of people are really happy it's coming back, including you.
No.
Oh, that wasn't an enthusiasm cough.
No. I've got a lot of coughs.
Yes.
And I understand sometimes it's difficult to discern an enthusiasm cough from an indifference cough.
Sure.
That was an indifference
cough. So is enthusiasm one like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right. Like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that spin-off, I guess good news for you then, that spin-off show they were threatening is not happening.
Okay.
They nipped that in the bud. That was the Mockingjay and her British friend
Mockingbird.
Spin-off. Sorry, yeah. Mockingjay's that other thing.
Yes.
So yeah,
great.
That's not happening, which I think is wise because they're like, I think they're good in that show or whatever from what I've seen up to. And the last thing you want to do is take something out of that show that's good.
Oh, yeah, totally,
and put
yeah.
it somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, just leave it with the absolute bare minimum.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, but that's good. A lot of people are very happy. Constantine has been cancelled, which is not really a surprise because wasn't rating too well.
Interpret this one.
That was a genuine cough.
Yeah, that was an actual, yeah, I'm quite ill. Yeah. Oh, wait, and also, I've never seen an episode of Constantine.
I watched the first one. I didn't mind it.
Great.
Yeah, but look, it's, if it comes back, I might check it out, but if not, maybe not. But there was also plans that Arrow was going to cross over with it, even though it was a different network. So Supergirl's happening. It's all happening.
Oh, though, sure. Like,
whatever.
It definitely sounds like it's all happening.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. And DC's, The Flash and Arrow's new spin-off series, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, has a title. And the title is Legends of Tomorrow. DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
So when are they going to reveal the title?
That's the title of the
oh,
show.
Oh, great. Fantastic. So right. Just, which is?
DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Love it.
Today.
Ooh. Okay.
So it's like Adam.
Who hasn't shrunk yet?
No, not yet.
Is he going to shrink at any point?
I think they're going to get him to crouch in a box.
That's just as good.
Or a cupboard.
Great, sure.
Black Canary.
Yep.
But the original one. Uh-huh. The two Flash villains.
She's not dead for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Oh, they got the Lazarus pit now.
Oh, yeah.
The two Flash villains like Fire and Iceman. The guy who can literally go on fire and fly around. Fireboy.
Firestorm.
Yeah, yes. Firestorm. All these guys.
Great.
Yeah, you know, could be good.
Love it.
Yeah. It's all building towards a big shared TV universe that people seem to enjoy more than the movies.
D-listers of tomorrow. Here it comes.
Here it comes. No, but you know, you've been watching The Flash?
No.
It's been really good.
I've fallen off all of them again.
Really? Okay, yeah. That's all right. They had Grodd last week.
Oh.
Looked pretty good.
Was he telepathic?
Yes.
Was he a big talking monkey?
Gorilla, Mason, that's racist.
Correct, there we go. That was a test and you passed the test.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, it was It was actually, like, for TV.
Did he talk in a pompous British accent?
No, he was like, Grodd! Grodd! Like that.
Huh. Just for the whole episode?
The whole episode. Even when he wasn't on screen.
Not on screen, and
you could just hear him.
They're
in Star Labs,
they're trying to explain some technical thing, and you just hear Grodd, just down the hall. Grodd! And this, the actors are like, just run the line again. Just.
Yeah, so that's all good news, I guess, as far as TV goes.
Yeah, look, I'm not on board 100% with all of these things, but the more that they put out there, the better chance that there are they produce
something
good.
Ones.
So,
exactly. Yeah. So that's all.
And I really liked Agent Carter. So
yeah, exactly.
There we go.
So that's good. Suicide Squad. Oh, that was like way earlier in the week.
This was right after we finished recording the last episode.
We should probably talk about
the full cast.
Yeah.
Photo came was tweeted by the director.
Tweeted.
It was Twoten. It was Twoten.
It was.
So we have.
I know you're a big costumes man.
Okay, and so this has probably been exhaustively examined before this very moment.
By
but
people
here we go.
Better than us.
By people better than us who know what they're talking about. Okay, I have absolutely no idea who the first guy on the left is, so I'm assuming that he is some cannon fodder they've invented.
No, he's got like a rope. He's like a noose. Oh, he's got a name. Well, they think he's like a noose-related villain.
Oh, noose-related man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Right. Like Garrote or something like that.
Something like that. I can't remember.
Okay, so we've got Captain Boomerang.
Mm.
He certainly looks like a tough guy. That's great.
He's got mutton chops. You can't really see it in the photo, but he has sweet mutton chops.
Okay, that's pass.
How Australian does he look?
He doesn't look super Australian. He looks more like a zombie.
Yeah.
This is kind of a low-res photo.
Yeah.
We've got Enchantress.
Yep.
Who looks more like a swamp witch.
Yep.
Katana looks great, I think.
She's in Arrow, did you know?
No.
I didn't know. You know the guy who he's friends with who's in the league? The guy with the ponytail, the Asian guy with the ponytail?
Oh, yes.
His wife is Katana. She just put on her costume last week, and I was like, didn't know that. Didn't make that connection.
No, well, yeah, exactly. Rick Flagg looks like a man.
He does. He looks good.
He looks like, what's his face? Fast and Furious guy.
Oh, okay. Paul Walker. Paul Walker's brother.
We'll get to Harley Quinn in a second.
Yep.
Because there's...
Oh, Harley Quinn! I just got it! Sorry.
Amazing.
You're going to go from the other side?
Yeah, okay. That's El Diablo, I guess, on the far right.
Sounds
Killer
right.
Croc.
Yep.
Biggest name, Will Smith.
Yep.
Okay, here's the thing. The costume looks good.
Mm.
There's been shots of him with the mask.
Yeah.
And they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Right here, though, unmasked, he looks... This Will Smith here looks very reminiscent of his character in Pursuit of Happiness. Just like a middle-aged dad. He looks worried.
He does
like
look
he's
worried.
Just kind of... He's got his ears poking out there. I don't know.
Do you think his ears are too pokey out for no hair?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you got to grow that hair out a bit to
cover your pokey out ears. Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I don't know.
With a mask, it looks good though.
Yeah, I don't know. And in motion, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, sure.
They have chosen. He is the saddest dead shot. Yeah, he really is.
Well, they're going to make him a fallen hero or tragic, whatever.
Oh, no wonder.
But you know,
so sad.
In one of the pictures, the one that they put out with his mask on, he's holding his gun right-handed, but the eyesight thing is on the left. Does that make sense?
Hang on, let me think. Yeah, because...
So if he's holding it like that, he has to put it on the opposite eye instead of this eye. Everyone at home can see that, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
See what I mean?
I would assume that he fires it like Hollywood style, like under the arm.
From
so
the hip.
The hip. So he's pointing to the left and his eye is pointing to the right, so they meet in the middle. See what I'm saying?
Hollywood style.
Hollywood style,
I get you now.
Yeah, exactly. And Harley Quinn in the middle. It's similar to the Joker reveal.
Okay,
It's another Harley Quinn redesign.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about it?
It's all right.
Okay, great, yeah. I don't know. It's a little bit...
I mean, it's all low res and not moving and whatever.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. There's some better shots of it, like on set shots and stuff like that.
To be honest, I don't even think this is like the best background to shoot this on, and right. And it's not like a really great quality photo.
Is anyone in favor of this? This
I think people are. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Look, I'm okay. Honestly, I'm okay with it. Uh-huh. I guess as well with a lot of this, because they're not massive named yep. heroes as well. Uh-huh. I guess I'm like, I don't really care about. What's the guy in the end? El Diablo and whatever.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. But no, generally, it's fine, whatever.
Okay,
what about you?
Yeah, again, it's fine. I'm glad we devoted this much time to this. Certainly.
I'm not against it.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. No, look, I'm hoping it's going to be really, really good. Somebody emailed, and I can't remember who and thought, do you think this is going to be a better movie than Batman v Superman?
Impossible to say at this point. No. I'm going to say no.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I don't know.
Great.
Anything else to say?
That's what people tune in for, yeah. I feel.
I feel like this was such a long time ago that I'm like, I don't even remember what I thought initially.
Yeah.
But no. Look, it's coming along. That's good. Things are happening in the world other than this also. Like this is happening, but
give
also.
Give me an example of another thing happening in the world. Try and think of another thing happening in the world. You just said something.
Today is Mother's Day in Australia. Too, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you treat your mother to anything?
No, I've been at work.
In her face.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell her so when I see her.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. We got some casting for Civil War. The roster lineup has been announced.
Interesting.
As of so far. First of all, it's filming in IMAX, the whole thing. All of it.
Hmm.
It's pretty exciting. So we've got Captain America, Tony Stark, Black Widow, Bucky Barnes, Falcon, Vision, Black Panther, Hawkeye, War Machine, Scarlet Witch, Agent 13, Martin Freeman in an undisclosed role.
The Hobbit.
General Ross from The Hulk.
Yeah, okay, he's back. Hurt. Yeah. There you go.
I know, right? Crossbones and Zemo. But okay. Plus, there's probably some others. Big lineup.
That is a big lineup, yeah.
Some say too big. Some say lineup.
The actual word lineup. Yes. They just say the word lineup.
Correct.
Just on a street corner or something?
Just on a street corner. Bloody line up. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Maybe teachers would say that.
They would say that. Bloody line up, mate.
Yeah.
That's how they say it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Pretty good, yeah. Okay.
It's very Avengers-y, isn't it? It's a very Avengers-y. No Thor, no
Hulk. Is it the same actor who played Agent 13 in Winter Soldier?
It is, yeah. Revenge. I don't know what her name is. Emily Vandek something?
Revenge. Emily Revenge.
Revenge actually got cancelled. I wasn't sure whether to bring it up. I wasn't going to bring it up.
You've made a terrible mistake. Now, you've ruined it.
What?
No, that's fine.
Did she get enough revenge in the show Revenge?
I didn't watch Revenge.
Because initially she was getting revenge.
Oh, yes.
And maybe she got revenge. This is just what I've seen from the ads. I haven't never watched an episode. And then then she realized it's maybe the wrong revenge.
Oh, so she was getting revenge on somebody who didn't deserve the revenge.
Or maybe there was somebody behind the revenge.
Revenge, okay. So the initial person deserved revenge.
Yeah.
But there was a bigger fish who deserved more fish-based revenge.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then that one of those people retaliated and got revenge on her. And then I think it ended with her again getting revenge on whoever re-revenged her.
Oh, sure.
So does that make sense?
Look, I think everyone got a good solid amount of revenge again. So
did everyone got a hefty dose?
Everyone got a hefty dose. Yeah, exactly. Oh, which reminds me, Gotham spoiler alert. I haven't been watching Gotham.
Yeah.
That's not the spoiler. But somebody sent me a clip.
Yeah.
The Penguin kills Fish Mooney.
Yes.
I bloody called it.
But she only fell into the water.
I bloody called it.
But you said...
She's not coming
the
back.
Fish to the, I reckon she
Somebody's going to say it next episode, I assume.
I hope somebody says it
the at some fish point. Got fed to the penguin.
Okay. Oh, yeah, good point. There's still time, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, I think because she fell in water, she might come back. I'm not saying she will, but I'm saying that's not a definitive death in a comic book
world.
No,
absolutely not. No. Yeah. You can be eaten by sharks and come back.
Exactly. Whenever somebody falls off a cliff and whenever you don't see the body, or even if you do see the body.
Yeah, exactly.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's good. Anyway, Civil War. Looks great. I'm excited.
Mm. Do you think General Ross will turn into the Red Hulk?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to go down that road.
Rulk.
Do you think he didn't like being the Red Hulk, did he? Because it was like, this is my nightmare.
Well, his moustache disappeared.
Yeah.
And he lived for that moustache.
Does it grow in?
I don't know. It's never explained.
It should be.
That's why the twist never worked. Like when they revealed that the Red Hulk was General Ross, people were like, where did his moustache go?
Yeah. Because if they did him with the moustache,
you'd be like, oh, it's General Ross.
Clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Isn't he intelligent?
Yeah.
And he gets hotter?
That's correct.
As he gets angrier?
Yes.
And more intelligent. So if he's furiously reading a book, yes, he gets hotter. Is that
correct?
Right?
And he burns the book to a crisp, which only makes him madder and hotter. So watch out, libraries.
Yeah, great. The Rogue Cut was announced for X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yes.
Got an extra like 10, 15 minutes, I assume. Mm-hmm. It's going to be out July 14. And all the Rogue scenes that were cut out from Days of Future Past have been put back in using modern editing techniques to create a fuller and richer X-Men experience.
Just a really like harangued, stressed, sweaty guy in like a one of those green dealer's visors, and he's got a big set of shears, and he's like, "Oh, Stan Lee's gonna kill me! Oh God!" And he's just snipping away. Is it? That's the modern technology you're talking about.
That's
right?
Exactly what I'm talking right, about. Yeah. So you excited for that?
Yeah, definitely.
You excited to watch those clips on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's probably what I'll do. Mm. We will do a Days of Future Past commentary at some point. Probably closer.
Will we use the original version of the Rogue Cut? That's the question.
That's remains to be seen, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, if you buy the Steelbook, then,
we'll
get it. Then we'll get the Steelbook. But yeah, July 14, look out for it, Mason.
I will.
You know how you were wanting a new Indiana Jones movie?
No, I've never said that. I've said retroactively destroy it, the last one, and erase it from my mind with like an ice pick.
Okay.
Or like a big set of shears. Just lean me towards that guy who's frantically editing Days of Future Past.
Stan Lee's gonna
Stabbed.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Anyway, something about Indiana
Jones. Yeah, well, it was confirmed by Kathleen Kennedy, who runs Lucasfilm, that though there's no script yet and no confirmed release date, they're like, yeah, we're talking about it. It's happening.
We'd like to make more money, so sure.
And that's our number one priority. Mm. So yeah, which is fine. When people get upset about movies making money, yes, that is
right.
That is what they are for. Some making money movies are better than others, though.
Correct.
And that's what's important. And family, I guess.
Sure. Mother's Day.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm assuming they're going to recast, right?
Yeah, he's done, right? Surely he's...
Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see how he does in bloody Star Wars, mate. But is there any chance that he could put in such a stellar performance that you want to see Indiana Jones in the 1980s? Because that's how old he would be now.
Right.
Not the 80s, maybe the 60s. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't understand. Like... he doesn't have any vitality left.
No.
At all.
No.
But I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, so recast that, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just don't make any more.
How's he going to push a man into the blades of a propeller?
That's a good question.
Exactly.
He'd probably need help. Probably how's he going to... pin him under his bloody Zimmer frame, am I right?
Very good.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, how's he going to put things in a museum where they belong?
I don't think he does that much, though. I mean, no, he really doesn't. Says it.
And then he just destroys a lot of things and then they go into a government warehouse. Yeah. You're right, yeah.
Mm. He's a terrible professor / archaeologist / dad.
He is a terrible dad. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, great. Anyway, it's been strongly rumoured they're making a Boba Fett film. That is the next spin-off after Rogue One. Sure. Josh, the Trank's out. We talked about that last week. He got tranked.
He got tranked. He tranked himself.
Yeah. They're saying that I'm saying it would have to be as well set between somewhere between obviously Clone Wars and Jedi. I guess you could do it after, but
I hope it's set
as he's falling into the Sarlacc.
Yes, exactly. Immediately after Return of the Jedi, and it's just him poking around for 2 hours.
How do you stay alive in that pit for 2,000 years or whatever it is? It must keep you alive. There's a book on it anyway. It's called The Journey of the Sarlacc. No, you know the tales from Jabba's Palace. You get Fett's perspective in the Sarlacc pit.
Huh.
He doesn't like it.
It's real dark in here.
Yeah.
So the Boba Fett movie, I'm assuming, is going to be some sort of Mr. Magoo-esque comedy of errors, right?
Yeah.
Where worst bounty hunter of them all, Boba Fett, just keeps stumbling into success somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, thank you. The Inspector Gadget of bounty hunters. Correct. Yeah.
That's it. If they're going to do it, I think they should do it between Empire and Jedi. I'd love to see it where it goes from Cloud City or even during.
Yeah.
Or even from like... the start of Empire where he tracks down Han Solo, picks him up, goes to Jabba's palace. I want to see that.
How about this?
They did it in Shadow of the Empire.
Yeah. How about instead, it takes place immediately after he gets out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like a payback style film.
On the Sarlacc?
Yeah, no, I think he'll take care of the Sarlacc fairly quickly. But maybe just like I don't know. You remember Payback with Mel Gibson?
I love Payback.
And, you know, it was great. And he just wanted... We'll talk about maybe Mel Gibson a little bit later.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We won't.
Wink. No, that's not. But, you know, he just wanted his $30,000 or whatever, and he just caused this incredible ruckus and killed all these people because he wanted just the small amount of money he was owed.
He was owed, yeah, because he's a man of honor.
Because he's a man of honor. I would like to... Maybe Boba Fett's got some unfinished business.
Yeah.
Maybe...
With Dengar.
Yeah, oh, maybe with Dengar. Maybe with Boss.
Maybe with IG-88.
Maybe with those guys,
maybe with 4LOM.
Oh, yeah. Maybe with... Lobot, the guy with the things on his ears.
I enjoy Lobot.
Yeah. Look, but I'm maybe like, you know, he comes out and he realizes Jab is dead, but now he just wants to take revenge on whoever. The rest of the Hutts or something. I don't know.
Vader?
Yeah, Vader.
Whatever.
Whoever put him in that situation.
Mm. The Hutts, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Hutts, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that'd be super cool. There's also the rumor long back that you may have remembered from a while back that they're going to swap Jango Fett out, because he's a Jango Fett clone.
Oh, yeah, there we go, yep.
So someone else will kill him and take the mantle.
And so the one we see in the episodes 5 and 6 is somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else, right, okay. Which would be way better,
That'd
right?
be so much better.
But hey, that...
Because otherwise we're going to have to sit through, like, a weird origin story which consists of him getting rid of his New Zealand accent, like a lot of vocal training. No, say it, get him, Dad. Get him, Dad. No, you're not getting this.
The thing
this.
Is as well...
You're not getting this, Boba. Get him, Dad. Get him, Dad. No, no.
Because you know how in George Lucas went back and he redubbed Boba Fett's lines New Zealand?
Did he really?
In The Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
Good Lord.
He's like, he's no good to me alive, bro, or whatever.
Oh boy.
In your face, New Zealand listeners.
But no, that's 100% accurate.
He wouldn't necessarily have that accent because his dad died when he was like 8 or 10, whatever he was, and then he who knows what he was doing. So he didn't. They didn't need to change it.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Look, to be honest, I don't even.
The Star Wars movies are all about consistency.
You're right. Mm. I don't even want to see a Boba Fett movie. I don't care. Is that just me?
I want to see
if you know what you said sounds great. Actually,
yeah, exactly. He just keeps. We reveal. Wouldn't it be amazing if one of the Star Wars movies was a comedy? Like, inexplicably, you just make
like
one
on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose. Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, like, just make one of... Don't say it's going to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, make the trailer... Make the Boba Fett one, the trailer, like it's going to be this amazing action movie.
Yeah.
And then you reveal that this character that everybody's loved inexplicably for decades is just an idiot.
Could I suggest the song Smash Mouth's Walking on the Sun for when he gets out of the Sarlacc?
Yes, yes, you may.
Ba-ba-da-ba-bop. Ba-ba-da-ba-bop.
Yep. Yes.
Good.
So good, right?
We've done it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day and now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind. so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Do you want to talk Mad Max?
Yes.
Because Mad Max is out this week.
Fury Road.
I'm bloody excited, mate.
Me too.
Yeah, it's probably, I hope it's good.
You know what's weird? Because I rewatched, skimmed the three Mad Max movies in preparation for this.
Yeah.
And you'd think that I'd be less enthused for Mad Max Fury Road after watching them. Yeah. But I'm more enthused.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you want to go film by film, or do you want to go general thoughts? I'm really intrigued by that.
General, okay.
Because it doesn't all hold up, does it?
No. No. I'd say one quarter of it holds up.
In and total?
Yeah, and there are three movies. So
I reckon there's a solid one and a bit movies out of
it. Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, we can talk about it.
Okay, cool. Anyway, the first one, though.
It's a mixed bag.
Boy, is it.
Yeah.
First one's
the whole universe.
What do you think of the first one? It's from 1979. Look, and you got to bear in mind, if you are going to watch it, you got to think of it from the perspective, this was an independent Australian film.
Yep.
George Miller.
Yes.
Not Mark Miller.
Correct.
He was a, what is he? He was a trauma emergency doctor.
Uh-huh.
And he financed this film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he raised like $400,000.
That's very interesting. I didn't know he was a trauma doctor.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I know, right?
Considering what we're going to talk about in the, what a lot of people actually don't know is that there are three Mad Max movies. Because Americans especially, the first one they ever saw was The Road Warrior, which is the second one.
Yeah.
And the first one wasn't released. It was only released a couple of years ago, right?
In some countries. I think it was released in some places in the US. I know they dubbed the Australian accents.
To
American accents.
Okay. Everybody, not just...
Everybody, because Mel Gibson wasn't famous.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But... What was I going to say? But also then I think they re-released it after Road Warrior because they were like, this is like the prequel to Mad Max.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were probably like, this was clearly made before is much worse.
Right. Well, we're talking about worse. I think it feels to, when you watch it, it feels to me very much like George Miller wanted to have some fairly spectacular for the time, yep. action sequences yeah. and car chases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he just sort of loosely strung some plot around
Absolutely.
It. There's some plots.
Not really.
But it's such a... Because I've, you know, every time I think about Mad Max, I'm like, oh, it's this post-apocalyptic world and they've run out of gas.
Not that one.
But yeah, the first one, like going back to it, I realize it's been so long since I've watched it.
It's in a country town.
It's in a country town. It's not, but like it's...
Well, the backstory...
I guess I always assumed this was the last pocket of civilization left, you think, or something.
Because in your head you see Thunderdome.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, and then you get... You go, but it's set in like Ballarat
or something. Yeah, it's like... It's like a lot of it feels very much like an Australian soap opera. It feels like a Country Practice or like Blue Heelers, which was a very long running Australian police soap opera.
Funny you should say that. Yeah. The third Thunderdome.
Yes.
George Miller and another guy directed it, and the other guy went on to direct a bunch of Blue Heelers episodes.
There we go. Perfect. So the first Mad Max, it's not opposed to. It's so vague as to where, like, it's. Because there's a scene right at the start where the cops, because Mad Max is a cop.
I wrote this down, the main police force, the MPF.
Main police force.
Yeah, because they're the main one.
They're the main one. Yeah, so they bring in like a gang member and then his lawyer shows up and gets him off.
He's a greasy lawyer.
Yeah, he's this greasy little lawyer, gets him off in a technicality in a super weird voice. And so I'm like...
I think it's a rape as well.
Yeah, it is. Ooh. And cough of disapproval. But yeah, so it's like, so initially I'm like, I thought this was a post-apocalyptic. What? I thought this was Law of the Jungle. Like people shooting flamethrowers out of the sides of their school buses and whatever. Like, what? Who's this guy getting somebody off on a legal technicality?
Why are they lawyers?
Yeah, why isn't everything just shotgun to the head?
Yeah. Like, why is it like... Exactly. People just rolled in dirt and shot in the face or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. Yeah. I mean, but that's the budget they had. It was filmed in, like, country Victoria.
Yeah.
Which, like, a few of the roads, I'm like, I think I've been there. Like, I mean, it all looks the same anyway. But actually, the backstory is, and I don't know whether they say this specifically in the movie, because I can't remember. I watched them, like, a couple of years ago. There's an oil crisis. There's like a Persian Gulf War something.
Oh, sure.
They give it a name. I can't remember what it is. I think they even use the word Persia.
Uh-huh.
I might be wrong. And they just burn all the oil. So there's an oil shortage.
Right.
And so this police force is the last kind of remnants of society as everything's collapsing.
Everything's Columboing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not really made that clear, I feel.
No.
I mean... I saw it 2 years ago and you skimmed it. So yeah, maybe exactly. It is.
But it feels very much, it feels a bit student filmy except for the horrific car crashes and so forth.
Yeah.
Hang on, where was I?
We could talk about the villain.
We could talk about the villain. And that's the thing. It's the weakest villain, definitely.
Well, he's also
Toe Cutter Joe.
Toe Cutter Joe is.
Or just Toe Cutter?
I think it's just Toe Cutter. Oh, maybe it is.
Let's assume it's Toe Cutter Joe.
No, Immortal Joe.
There we
Joe,
go. See, that's what I learned.
Immortal
yes.
Joe is a Fury Road villain.
Yes.
Same actor.
That's what Hugh I learned Keys just recently. Burn,
and he was also Martian Manhunter. Was in the George Miller Justice League movie.
Interesting. Yeah. So he's a favourite.
He's a fave, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's...
He's probably in Blue Heelers.
But yeah, like, he's Toe Cutter.
Yeah.
For starters, again, I did skim it. He doesn't cut anyone's toes off.
I mean, maybe that's, he did.
Maybe.
Prior.
Oh, that's probably how he got the name.
I assume.
He's a whimsical fop of a man.
He's like, ooh, I hate guns.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he's like stealing a kid's ice cream and then the kid kicks him in the balls. And there's a bit where like an old lady.
I forgot about that.
There's an old lady threatens him with a rifle and he's like, oh, yeah. guns. Yeah, he's just this. He's a strange. What? Oh, also, here's something I realized having watched this. It should be called Mad Goose, the first movie.
Yeah, because
it's the 70% of the movie is about Goose, who's Max's best friend, played by Australia's own Steve Bisley. I think that's his name.
That's his name, yeah. He was in Frontline and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah. Maybe Water Rats?
Yeah, probably in Water Rats.
You're right, because he's... Because he's gone crazy.
He's mad.
He's bloody mad. Because the guy who raped whoever.
Yeah.
gets off, yeah. and then he's furious.
He's furious.
And Max is kind of
like...
He goes
on a fury road.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what we say in Australia. When you're really yeah. mad, you go on a fury road.
And Max is kind of indifferent.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, that's what happens in this society we're in, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, he's fine with it.
And then, but then, so Goose goes after them.
Yeah.
And they burn Goose alive.
Yeah.
And he doesn't die, though, immediately.
He never dies. We never see him
die. We never see him dead. Okay. Well, because we can talk about the villain in the next one next, because they're linked.
Okay.
But, and then Mad Max, you think he's going to get mad.
But he doesn't get particularly mad.
He retires.
Yeah.
He goes and lives in the country, more of the country,
yeah.
with his wife and kid.
More like Bendigo.
More like Bendigo. And then more like Ararat.
Oh,
and
then more like Safety Beach. More like Dramana. Goes down to bloody Dramana, mate.
And then he gets, and then they come after him and kill his wife and kid or whatever.
And then he gets Mad Max.
He gets sort of mad. Like, he's not that mad.
He only really gets mad in like the last 5 minutes.
Is he crazy mad or is he angry mad?
That's a good point. I think he might be crazy mad.
It's not that.
Because he doesn't get, no, but I mean, maybe he's crazy mad in the head.
Yeah.
Which is why he doesn't get particularly upset about all the crime and his best friend being burned alive, and his wife being killed.
Yeah.
And him getting his arm run over? Does that happen in the first
one? Arm
run one?
Over, leg shot out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he doesn't get... I think so maybe he's crazy mad.
Yeah.
Which is why he doesn't get angry mad.
It's not really.
Because he's crazy.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Would explain a lot.
I would watch a movie called Mad Goose.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, apparently... This is what I did a video on it. Uh-huh. I called it Mad Max Facts, F-A-X. Oh, yeah. It's
great.
Very good, right?
Okay. Was there a fax in the thumbnail?
I should probably do that. I could still change it.
Good.
But what was I going to say? Steve Beasley went in for a role and Mel Gibson went in as his friend.
So not to audition.
Not to audition. And he was all beat up because he'd been in a bar fight the night before.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, we need like weird kind of looking.
Oh, we need some
dudes.
Freaks.
Yeah.
We need some gang members.
And so he came back 2 weeks later and he was all healed and they were like, holy shit, it's Mel Gibson.
Right.
Pre-fame.
It's the future famous celebrity Mel Gibson. We better get him a role for his future.
So Beasley was kind of going to be, I think Goose was the bigger role, I think. I might be wrong. Which is why they were going to call the movie Mad Goose.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But that doesn't really explain why... Like, it doesn't explain why the movie is 70% Goose, 30% Max.
Yeah.
You'd think that you'd give all the lines that Goose has to Max.
Yes.
And you have Goose be the calm one, and then Goose get killed.
Then
Goose get killed. Did you read that on my t-shirt?
I did.
My custom-made t-shirt that just says Goose get killed. But then when Goose is killed, then surely Max would get mad, and then he goes and he Mad Maxes for the rest of... So he'd be Mad Max in 100% of the film.
Yes.
So it's interesting. Maybe they... I don't know.
It feels like a lot of it was kind of made up on the fly.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, because like... And they were like filming places they shouldn't, so they'd quickly film a scene on a bridge they couldn't film on, and then they'd bugger off and whatever. Like, they do all sorts of shit like that. It's a remarkable achievement for the time, right?
You know what's most remarkable? Nobody was killed.
Yes.
Because if you look at some of those stunts...
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people were injured though, right? Because there was
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. But like a lot of the bikers I think are actual bikers. Hell's Angels.
Yeah,
I don't know, whatever other rip-off bikie gangs we have in Australia.
What do you think they made of... We got the Hell's Angels here, I think.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have a chapter.
What do you think they made of Toe Cutter's performance of the Hell's Angels?
I think they probably separated him. Like they had everybody plug their ears. So they wouldn't get a little mad goose at him and kill him.
Did you enjoy the eye bulging effects?
That only happens once.
It happens
right?
twice. It happens near the start as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't see this. Yeah. I remember it's the scene where Toe Cutter is about to get hit by a truck.
Yes.
And his eyes bulge out.
Could I show you something?
Yes. Is it an eye bulging gif?
In the front of the truck, they put on a metal plate.
I know where this is going
to
go.
And painted it to look like the front of a truck.
Right.
But it looks like they've painted the front of a truck.
Yeah.
To look like the... It looks like a prop from a school production.
Yeah, no, it really
you
does.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
because the truck driver apparently didn't want to smash up his truck. Understandably.
So is that just a truck driver they like flagged down?
Yeah, they just
on
got...
The
presumably.
The street.
But you can also see it from this angle. You can see it sticking out from...
Oh, fantastic.
So it's just like a plate they've put on the front.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I couldn't make this now. Like,
well, nobody could make this now for incredible
number. It's been made.
Well, it's been made, one, but for also all sorts of incredible health, occupational health and safety reasons.
Sure,
you could not possibly do that.
Good point.
And all sorts of legal reasons.
I guess what I'm saying is I couldn't make something this good.
Oh, okay. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I absolutely could. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I'm agreeing with you. You could not do that. Good. Yeah. You know, the time or the talent.
Yeah. But also, you know how this movie inspired Saw.
Oh, I get it. I did not know that, but...
Yeah.
Because right at the end, Max gets super mad. He gets as mad as he's going to get. And he
is still quite reasonable.
He seems quite reasonable because he didn't just shoot the guy. He came up with a plan. And he handcuffs him to the car that's on fire.
Yep. And he sets a little trap. Mm. Like, he makes it so the hubcap fills, or a headlight fills with fuel. And once that fills, it goes down and hits a lighter, and then the guy explodes.
Right, and he's like, well, you can't cut through the handcuffs.
That's heist tensile steel, mate.
Heist tensile steel. All right. And he gives, because he gives him a hacksaw, and he's like, well, you cut through.
10 minutes to cut through the chain, 5 minutes to cut through your leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and that inspired Saw. That's interesting.
Or arm, whatever he handcuffs him to.
I think it's ankle.
Yeah. Mm. And the guy doesn't survive. And the guy's like, you're mad, mate. You're bloody mad.
Max.
And he's like, I guess I am.
You're bloody mad, goose. I am mad, goose. I've gotten so mad, goose here.
And then he just wanders off, which is how all these films end. He just wanders off.
Yeah. He limps off, really.
Yeah, he gets in his car.
And... There's some interesting continuity between all the Mad Max movies.
Mm. His injuries?
Yeah, like... Yeah, yeah. Because he spends all of Mad Max 2 with a leg brace on, which I guess if you've never seen the first one, if you just start with Road Warriors, a lot of people did, you'd be always looking for an explanation of some sort of flashback as to why he...
But I think that still works regardless.
Yeah, no,
I
does,
like
yeah.
stuff like that where they don't explain whatever, even though they do clearly explain it.
Right.
But just before we move on to Road Warrior though, on a scale of 1 to 10, how mad does he get, both angry and crazy?
I think I'm going to say he's consistently like a 9 in terms of crazy.
Okay.
Just no, you see what I'm saying though? Like the fact that he doesn't get mad even when he's faced with these insane, like he doesn't get angry when he's
crazy.
Yeah, that in itself is crazy.
I don't think that was the intent though.
No, but I'm building it in. I'm building it in because otherwise it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right? This movie did not make any sense. Like, on any kind of emotional level or narrative level, unless you assume that the main protagonist, Mad Max, is literally insane mad.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time, he just keeps it quiet, but it's in there all the time. And he's just contemplating eating people's faces, like, all the time, but he keeps it in. He keeps it in because he's like, I'm a cop.
On the edge.
On the edge.
But not really.
No.
Or I am?
I don't know.
But
in terms of mad, I reckon he gets to about a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's quite controlled.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very calculated.
Hmm.
Like, he should have kicked him in the face a lot and then done the trap. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to talk Road Warrior?
Let's talk about Road Warrior.
It's the best one?
It's the best one, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
By a long shot.
Yes. I think my assumption is that Fury Road is going to take the most number of cues from...
Yeah.
Based on the trailers.
Based on the truck.
Based on the truck.
Yeah.
Based on flamethrowers like coming out of school buses.
The villain, yeah. Yeah.
That it looks like it's... Because this is the one most people remember.
Yeah. I would say Thunderdome as well. Like the first 40 minutes of Thunderdome. We'll get to that.
Okay, cool, yeah.
But, yeah. It, like you said, though, it wasn't known as a sequel, though, was it?
No.
Overseas, in particular.
But it works on its own.
Absolutely,
definitely,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just kind of shows up at the start.
Yep.
And he's just been wandering. And things have got progressively worse. I think in between, society has completely collapsed.
So this is... At this point, we've run out of fuel. There hasn't been a nuclear apocalypse.
Not yet. That happens in three.
Okay.
Somehow.
Okay, sure.
But I don't even understand.
I don't buy the timeline. If I'm
well,
if
do you
I'm
know what the timeline is, though?
Yes.
It's something like year 2000 Mad Max, 2003 Road Warrior, 2018 Thunderdome.
Oh, well, that makes much more sense.
I mean, not are in they, terms those... of how much he's aged.
Right, no, exactly. So are those numbers... Because I don't recall those happening.
I don't think they mention it specifically.
In the movie,
I mean, they
exactly.
may. Mm. I don't know.
Because
normally you think at the start of these things, there's a lot of the time they'd be like, it's the year 2003. And there'll be like a wall of text.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
And everybody's using futuristic fax machines and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, he's like a scavenger. Like, he's just surviving. He's got his he's got his car from the first one.
Right, yeah.
And it's got a name and I can't remember what it's called. The Indicator or the Eradicator or something.
The Exterminator. Interceptor?
Interceptor, sure. Maybe, yeah. Good enough.
Yep.
But again, he's not that mad.
No.
He's just kind of surviving. Yeah. He's just after fuel and water or whatever. And a pilot ambushes him or somebody ambushes him and takes all his shit.
The guy in the little gyrocopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Spence.
Bruce, who also plays a pilot in the third one.
Yep.
But they're different characters. They're different pilots.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right.
Why?
I don't know.
What are you looking up there?
Just all kinds of stuff.
The plot?
Yeah, the plot.
But basically, so he comes across these people who are former oil company employees, and they've made this little...
Oh, is that what they are?
That's what they are.
I thought they were a religious cult.
No, probably.
They're probably oil company employees that were hired based on a weird religious belief they had.
You're probably right. Yeah. Anyway, so they've got a tanker full of oil or about that of fuel. They've got about that much.
Uh-huh.
And he wants some for it just so he can keep living his life.
Yeah.
But then Humongous and his crew.
He wants 5 litres of diesel. It's a bi-octane fuel. He says.
Does he?
Yeah.
Great. He has 16 lines in that movie as well. Mel Gibson.
That makes a lot of sense.
It
yeah.
does. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they had to cut out all his racism. But. And so he kind of reluctantly then agrees to kind of help them get the fuel away from these guys who were going to use it for bad things. And Humongous is like...
Probably just shooting fire out of a school mostly. Bus.
There's a lot of
I don't
that.
Think there's an actual. I don't think there's an actual flamethrower in a school bus at any point in any of the Mad
Max. In Fury Road, I think there is.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, finally.
Leave the fuel and I will spare your lives. Do you remember that bit?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Well, he was originally going to be Goose.
See, there we go.
Because he has Goose's gun and he's all burnt. Makes no sense because that dude's like... 8'10" and Goose is like 5'9"
and he's
or whatever.
Completely like he has completely pristine
he's like head is burnt but his body isn't
Well because in the original Mad Max the villains were actually just going to capture Goose and stick his head in an oven.
Cooked Goose, mate.
Cooked Goose, precisely.
Yeah, so then that happens.
So that was maybe an early version of the script, or do you think they changed it on the fly?
I think they probably changed it because they were like, nobody knows, nobody's saying this.
Right.
I'm assuming.
Because then there have to be a reveal at the end. He takes the mask off and it's TV Steve Bisley. And Mad Max would be like, oh, it's Goose. It's Mad Goose. And then the audience would be like, what? I don't remember. Yeah, because you'd have to build in a backstory. You'd have to
cut but you out. Could do that, though.
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have... Again, if you'd not seen the first one, it wouldn't have any resonance.
Yeah.
Like, he's a character we've introduced in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In a flashback, now he's the bad guy. You'd be like, who cares?
Can you imagine Steve Bisley in that, like, metal underwear?
And, yes.
Like, a hockey mask?
Yes.
So, there's a dog boy in it.
Oh, the feral kid, sure. Yeah.
Who's got a boomerang? And he
you know what? We didn't even really talk about the car stuff in the
okay,
first Mad
sure,
Max.
Car stuff.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Given how much.
Given the limitations and whatever. Yeah, I completely agree.
But when you see two cars crash into each other or whatever, you're like, that's astounding, nobody died. Anyway, back to Mad Max 2.
That's all you wanted to
that's
say.
That's all I wanted to say, really, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Like, I would watch it if you've never seen it, just for the car
but
stuff.
But I feel like it's like, when you go back and watch Bullet, because Bullet's got an amazing car chase.
Yeah.
But it's not very good, is it?
You know what, though? Did we talk about this in the podcast? Maybe we didn't.
Maybe.
But the first time I watched the movie Bullet with Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
People were like, oh my God, it's the amazing car chase with the amazing car or whatever. And I watched it. I'm like, oh yeah, it's back and forth and they keep reusing footage again and the car keeps losing that same hubcap over again. And it's pretty good and whatever. But then I saw it at the Astor, which is the big...
Sort of
Art Deco cinema in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
On the huge screen with an audience. I'm like, it's amazing.
Oh, really?
Like a big screen, it really, really comes across.
Really comes. That hubcap just rolls right into your life.
Absolutely. So anyway, what I'm saying is all our listeners go to the Astor, wait till they have a screening of Mad Max and then watch it.
I think you recommend that for all old movies.
I do, yeah.
Like, don't watch them at home by yourself.
No, watch them.
Because you'll just turn them off.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's so much other stuff to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mad Max 2, best villain? Best villain best sub-villain.
Wes? Sub-villain, the Mohawk man.
Yeah.
And he's got like an effeminate kind of partner?
Okay, here's the thing about that. Here's something I learned about that.
Yeah.
Is...
Like, I'm like, that's very progressive, but is that not what it is?
It's not progressive because it's a deleted scene. Or it's a deleted scene from...
Are they brothers or something?
No, they're... There's
Is
a
that goose?
No, stop it. So that guy, Wes, yeah. And I can't remember the actor's name, but he was also Bennett in Commando. Same guy.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Correct.
I know him.
Okay, so anyway.
That's the most mismatched fight in movie history, by
so anyway,
the way.
So anyway, I saw it's a clip. It's probably in print as well, but like somebody asked him at a convention.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Were they a couple kind of thing? And he's like, no, Wes rescued that. Because, you know, the timelines are weird. Boy, Wes rescued that kid from like gang members.
The dog boy.
No, he rescued the one who we assume is his partner.
Yeah.
As a child, like when he was like 4 years old from gang members. And now he's like the surrogate father-son kind of situation. So when they don't, the
dog boy hits him in the face with a sharp boomerang.
Yeah, and he dies, right? Yeah. And Wes is super annoyed at that. Yeah. He's a little bit mad goose about the whole situation. He goes on a bloody fury road about the whole thing. But that's because it's like that's his son.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
But that's, I don't know.
I mean, it still makes sense the other way.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Like regardless.
There's a lot of, when you go back and you watch a movie from like the 80s, there's always.
Especially the early 80s.
Yeah. There's like, I don't know if they do it. They probably don't do it deliberately. Like they all seem like nice people or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's always this ingrained subtext of like, if you're gay, it's bad. And we can make jokes about it and it's fine kind of thing.
Yeah, okay,
like if
sure.
you've seen the first Highlander movie.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a scene where Connor McLeod is being interviewed by like the cops about something or other. And, you know, somebody being murdered or whatever. Yeah. And a guy's like, oh, yeah, so you're an antiques dealer, are you, Connor McLeod? Are you a fairy? Are you gay or whatever? And Connor McLeod's like, why? You want a date? You want to go on a date? And the guy's like, I'll kill you! I'll kill you! Like, he gets so enraged. Like it's just this.
It's the worst thing you could be in the 80s.
Thing in the 80s, yeah. And it's so, like, so there's always that weird subtext or just overt.
Yeah.
Somebody getting incredibly enraged. But anyway, good villain, good sub-villain.
Yep.
Leave the fuel. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, you were talking about the feral kid with the boomerang.
Yeah, who turns out to be the narrator because he takes these people out, or they leave at the end and they go set up another society.
That's right.
So what happens if you haven't seen, I guess we're spoiling these. he steals a tanker after they wreck him and his car.
Yes.
And you know how he busts up his eye? In the next one, he's got a really big dilated pupil.
Huh.
But he doesn't have the leg brace anymore.
Well.
In the 15 years after.
He's been doing stretches.
He probably was probably, he's doing his rehab. And you know how he's also missing.
That being said, I twisted this ankle once and it still clicks when I move it. It's like 5 years. So.
Well, we'll give it another 10. We'll see where you're at.
Good point.
And you know how he's missing a sleeve in that movie as well?
Yes.
Because he got his arm run over.
He finds the sleeve. In 3, he finally. Fury Road, he finally finds the sleeve. That's his quest, is to have a complete leather jacket.
But it's kind of like, because with trauma patients.
Yep.
You know he got his arm run over.
Oh, yeah.
They would just cut it off him.
That's right, yeah.
So it's stuff like that, which is.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Which is nice. I love that outfit.
I mean, not all the movie makes perfect sense.
Certainly not.
Yeah.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah, definitely.
That boomerang's bloody all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So at the end, Max takes the tanker out.
Yep.
And they all chase him because they think the fuel's in it. And he kills like Humongous and Hawkman or whatever. What's his name? Wes.
Wes.
And then.
Where's Hawkman?
Yeah, it crashes and it's filled with sand.
Yep.
And it turns out that colony have taken out the fuel in like little containers in smaller things.
Uh-huh, sure.
They've gone in a different direction.
Thimbles.
Yes. And then he just walks away again.
Yeah. just into the desert.
And that's that, I guess.
Okay, so rate his level of madness.
Craziness?
Yes.
Even lower than the first one.
Yeah, I'd say he's less crazy.
He's very indifferent.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even get that mad.
Mm. Now, so somebody, I was reading somewhere like the...
2.
Level of madness.
Yes.
Yeah, good, good. Just generally for both?
Both, yeah.
2, okay, that's pretty good. That this is, like, this is his crossroads of whether he gets real mad or not. Because he could either, because he's the bystander in this situation.
Yeah, he doesn't, he just wants a one tank of gas.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he saves a guy, doesn't he, or something?
Yeah, it's sort of a case of will he, you know, he's at this crossroads, will he join civilization and help these people.
Oh, okay.
Actually, or will he succumb to his fury road?
Yeah.
And
will he go the way of the goose?
Will he go the way of the goose and become, you know, a crazy gang member?
Yeah. And he does. He leaves.
Yeah, he leaves. Again, he chooses neither.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he just walks off. I don't know how he survives. The guy's got some real issues, man. Maybe he is crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So that's the end of that movie. Oh. I think if you're going to watch one, watch that one.
Yes. Because that's...
that's what this is.
Yeah, that's what... that's Fury Road is going to be that. Yeah. Essentially, is going to be a better version of that. Hopefully. We've talked about what movie makers these days are good at and film TV makers are good at is getting to like the core of what people enjoyed about like a franchise and then sort of... saturating it all together in one thing.
Like Birds of Prey.
Like Birds of Prey, thank you. But as an actual example, like Doctor Who. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of them, but, you know, they've gotten, you know, the big concepts and the, you know, the fun characters and the banter between the Doctor and the companions and et cetera and whatever, and they've put it all together.
They've whittled it down.
They've whittled it down. Yeah. And then, And I think Fury Road's going to be something like that. Like, it's... you have a memory of how... of Mad Max and like the crazy action and the apocalyptic stuff and, you know, Max being the stoic character, and I think that's what it's going to be.
Yep, yep.
But he could stand to be a bit bloody madder though, I'll tell you what. So anyway, Beyond Thunderdome 3.
15 years later,
this is...
there was a nuclear war in between.
Yeah. It's weird, and we'll get to it in a second, but I don't know if the timeline works. Later in the movie, he's talking to a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And he has to explain to them that there used to be cities.
Yes.
And like he's saying it like it's this incredible legend. But it was only 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Anyway, so this movie it's the Return of the Jedi of this franchise. It's the, it's the RoboCop 3 of this franchise.
Yep.
It's the Die Hard 4 of this franchise, if I may. It's all of those things.
Okay, fair. Well, it is a PG-13. The other two are R.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird that it starts out that he's riding a camel.
Yeah.
Or he's got a little cart and he's got a camel.
Yeah.
And that doesn't that guy fly in and just the pilot, the gyrocopter, he flies a plane, one he flies a gyrocopter. I can't remember which one's which. And he just drops and knocks him off his thing, does he? And steals all his stuff or something?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that right?
I can't remember.
Because I remember when he turns up to Barter Town,
yep.
which is run by Tina Turner.
Sure.
And Angry Anderson.
Is that really Angry Anderson?
Angry Anderson, yeah. He's got the big thing on his head.
It is Angry Anderson. That is
Angry
right,
Anderson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The other guy's Master Blaster, which we'll talk about. Yep. Or the other two guys. And
For non-Australian listeners, we have an Australian musician / personality, and his name's Angry Anderson. He's not that angry.
He's not that angry.
He's really not. As a man, he's not that angry.
He's quite reasonable.
Yeah.
And he most famously...
here we go. Look up this on YouTube. I know what's coming.
What was it? He sung... what song was it? Oh, I can't remember. He sung at the... a massive Australian sporting event is the AFL Grand Final. In 1992, he sung Bound for Glory...
there we go.
...in front of 100,000 people after he rolled out in a blue version of the Batmobile.
Yep.
It was 92, so it was right around Batman Returns.
Yep.
And he sung probably the worst rendition of that song.
Yeah.
Which isn't a great song to begin with. And there was just laughter. And it still goes down as one of the greatest shames in Australian sporting history.
So anyway, find that on YouTube. It's amazing. Just go to YouTube and look up Angry Anderson Grand Final. It'll be there. It'll be the top result. If you learn nothing from this podcast, and you won't learn anything from this podcast, it's find that because it's great.
It's so good. Mm. So yeah. But also there's like a radiated water.
Yeah, okay.
And he's got one of those...
he's got a Geiger counter, yeah.
Geiger counter, And he's got long hair and he's wearing like a sack.
Right, so, yeah, he does. So this movie is Return of the Jedi in that it's...
kids and shit.
It's got the weird kids. Yeah. It's RoboCop 3 insofar as it's... they're like, well, this is one last gasp for making a profit, so let's broaden it out and we'll make it... you know, as palatable as possible to everybody.
Yeah.
And in the end, sort of alienate everyone. But it's Die Hard 4 in that he is transformed from a regular guy.
Yes.
Into like a Zen ninja.
Amazing reflexes.
Man. Yeah.
And, yeah. You're
like,
absolutely
there's a scene
right.
where he's in an office, I think.
Yeah.
You know, whatever passes for an office. And he can like sense when somebody's about to attack
yep.
him. And he grabs like a tray of fruit off the off the desk and he just hurls it behind him and hits the guy in the head with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's had 15 years in the desert. I guess that'll...
oh, that'll sharpen your reflexes.
Yeah.
Like that blind guy in Book of Eli. Spoiler alert. Denzel Washington, he's blind. No one's watching that. I've seen it. Nobody even remembers that exists.
That's very Mad Max, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe watch that instead.
Nope.
Don't do it. Don't go back.
So anyway, they make him... Tina Turner says, listen, there's a guy... Master Blaster runs the fuel in this city, which is basically a man, a dwarf who sits on top of a giant.
Yes.
And they...
Master and Blaster.
And they use pig shit to fuel everything.
That's right, yeah.
And so she doesn't like how he's got all the power because we're running the city.
Mm.
So she strikes a deal with Max to defeat Blaster
in the Thunderdome.
Correct. Which is basically a giant spherical cage or half of semicircle.
Sure.
And you're attached to like bungee cables
yep.
and you bounce around and try and kill each other.
Yes. What part of that are you not on board with?
I'm okay with all of that.
Uh-huh.
Up to the bit we'll talk about. Yeah, so basically he defeats Blaster and it turns out that he's disabled. He has Down syndrome.
Yeah. Mm.
So he refuses to kill him.
Yes.
And then Tina Turner's like, you reneged on the deal. You get gulag. No, you get the wheel.
You get goulash.
Yes, a delicious bowl because you've got Moxie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bring out this giant wheel and they make him spin it. And it's like got all the things like, you know, like you lose a limb or you're set free or whatever.
Spiders up your butt.
Spiders up your butt. And he gets gulag, which is basically, we're going to put you backwards on a horse with a big paper mache head on you, like from the movie Frag, and just send you out into the desert.
Yep.
That's gulag, apparently.
Sure.
How they settled on that specific word punishment, I do not know.
And it's, you would think that gulag a lot of the time would end with like the horse falling over like 100 meters from the gate and then just getting like the mask comes off and they're like, well, bye. And they're just walking away. But apparently not. He ends up in the bloody desert.
And he meets
a whole bunch of children.
Kids. Well, this movie though, George Miller was going to make it like a futuristic Lord of the Flies movie.
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, I'll just make it a Mad Max movie. So he did.
Huh.
But also, as I said, the producer on these movies, Byron Kennedy, the name I've written here because so I wouldn't forget, he died in a aerial accident, helicopter or plane. Uh-huh. And George Miller was like, I don't really have, my heart's not in this.
Okay.
So he only directed the action scenes. And this other director who did Blue Heelers and such directed all the other stuff.
Okay.
That makes sense, right?
It really, now that I think about it, makes a lot of sense. It's like a movie and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the first 45 minutes until he gets gulagged is solid.
Right.
In so much it's kind of fits with the world.
Yeah.
And then afterwards it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Boring nonsense.
It's boring nonsense.
Before it was nonsense. Yeah.
And you know what? Even the action the action sequences are boring.
Yeah.
The final chase.
It's a train, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I think,
But it's like, I don't know, we've talked about like, you watch the A-Team or whatever, and they absolutely go out, there's so much shooting and, you know, car chases or whatever, but they absolutely go out of their way to show that nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like the A-Team will, you know, knock the bad guy's car off a bridge or whatever, and it'll fall into a ditch, and there's a voiceover where they're like, are you okay? And the other guy's like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, so we know that they're totally, nobody's been hurt. That's what the last action sequence in Mad Max 3 feels like.
Because it gets to that point because the kids think he's the pilot who left them there.
Yes.
And all the adults. But because he looks like him and they cut his hair or whatever.
Yeah.
And now have this weird future speak, which I do not care for. Do you remember?
They have
other words for things and whatever. And they take him to the plane, which is now covered in like 15 years of sand. They're like, let's go. And he's like, I'm not a pilot, and if I was, that you're an
that
idiot.
That would fly, yeah.
Yeah. And but then they leave. Some of them leave to find civilization. He goes after them, and they encounter Tina Turner's men and whatever, and then they have a Thunderdome.
They don't have
a Thunderdome.
They have a Fury Road.
And then it just kind of ends.
Correct.
And Tina Turner's like, I respect you, and then he walks away, as he always does.
Boy, does he, yeah.
It's not very good.
It sure isn't.
How mad is he?
I don't think he's ever mad. I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah.
But who wouldn't be crazy in this environment? But he's never angry.
Yeah.
In fact, he's super calm the whole time.
Yeah.
Now that I think about
it. Zen, like you said.
Yeah, he's a zen weirdo now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I guess out of these three, what would you recommend people watch?
The second one. The and that's all? That's it, yeah.
Yep. And even then, don't go in thinking it's going to be this amazing... It's from 1981, and you got to bear that in mind.
Correct.
And it had a budget of like $4.5 million or something.
Okay.
And I think it's good. I genuinely like it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think if you've listened to this, you probably don't need to watch them in preparation for Fury Road.
No.
Or anything, even if you didn't listen to this. Right. Even if you just tuned in now.
Right. If your policy is to download this and then move the needle to like however far we're in.
Well, whatever we are in. What are we in? Oh, yeah. We're just under an hour. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Sure is.
Oh, you know what we neglected to mention?
What's that?
The Thunderdome song.
Oh, sure.
we don't need another hero, Tina Turner.
Uh-huh. Which I realized only recently that, like, because it's played on, like, your golden oldies kind of radio stations, that she had to shoehorn in the Thunderdome reference in there. So it's sort of snuck in right
they
at the
really
end of the chorus.
Get it in there,
sort of
it?
Whispers it in there.
Yeah.
It's great.
She's in a futuristic kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Get up and whatever. Mm-hmm. Also, Tupac's song California Love was filmed in the Thunderdome. If you watch that.
The video clip, sure.
Video clip, it's all very Mad Max.
It is a bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that, I think it was the actual Thunderdome, though. Like the actual set.
Like the real life Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Where they, yeah, okay.
They bounce about.
Oh, yes.
I still stand by that Thunderdome scene. I think it's mad and futuristic enough.
Uh-huh.
Like that it would be something ridiculous. Do you want to talk about Mad Max 4, though, that was sort of nearly made before they did
I've
this
one?
I've
not heard about this, but let's go.
So basically, in the mid-90s... Oh, quick letter here from Sam. Hey, guys, in preparation for your Mad Max episode, I decided to watch all three of the films.
Ha-ha!
While watching the first one, I noticed that it isn't very good. It isn't terrible. But it feels like it jumps around and all the scenes are barely connected. I also found the dialogue boring. I was just wondering if you guys believe that Mad Max is the classic, like people hail it to be. Thanks, Sam.
No. It's Mad Max 2. The best one.
Yeah, that's a fairly accurate summary.
Totally.
And reaction to the first Mad Max movie. Again, I think it's an amazing achievement, blah, blah, blah. Mm. All right, so Mad Max...
And apparently a lot of the extras are just paid in beer.
Yeah, really?
Mad Max 1.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know what else? Thunderdome is the worst one because it should be better. It's got the biggest budget. Mel Gibson's a biggest star.
Yep.
Like, it's clearly got the biggest budget. Like, it's very noticeable. They had a lot of years to kind of get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Who cares? But anyway, Mad Max 4. George Miller was like, I'm done with Mad Max. He's been mad enough, which I disagree with.
Uh-huh. He's but maxed out. Two X's. Three X's. That's how done he was.
And he had this idea in the mid-90s where, you know, every time there's something at stake, like it's either fuel or... It's always fuel, is it? I don't know.
No, well, it's fuel in the first two and then it's water. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it water in the next one?
I don't know.
No, it's water in the next one.
No, this one is about water and slaves. Like, it's like humans are the commodity.
Okay, right.
So he thought that was a great idea, but then he quickly like dismissed it. He's like, I don't want to make another bloody Mad Max movie.
Right.
But then it kind of creeped up on him or whatever. In like the early 2000s, like Mel Gibson was going to do it, but he was kind of reluctant because he was getting older and more racist. And then all that thing kind of happened where he had that massive public blowout and then it settled down. Then he had another massive public blowout.
Yeah.
And at one point they were like, oh, we'll animate it.
Interesting.
I'm assuming computer-ish. I don't know how, like, when I think like...
They were going to do a video game?
They are doing that.
They actually did one. They were going to do it. The license fell through, so they released it as Outlander.
Oh,
I played it. It's no good. I finished it.
When did that come out?
Let me check. It was on the Super Nintendo.
Oh.
So.
What is it? Like a
1992 it came out.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Side-scroller?
It's part driving, part side-scroller. So it's like a third-person driving.
Yep.
He was the only novelty, right? You'd be driving. You'd be driving along, third-person driving, right? And then, like, maybe a guy, you know, people would be attacking you from all sides, whatever. Yeah. And maybe a guy on a motorcycle would come up on your left. Mm. What would happen is you'd get a little picture-in-picture box on the left of, like, the car window. And you're looking out and you could shotty him. You could bloody shotgun him through the window. It was the best. That I played it solely for that novelty. And then you'd get out of the bike and you'd sort of side-scroll through a town and shoot people. And,
okay, I think we should play that at some point.
Okay.
Even though it's not... the officially Mad Max video game, because there's a new one coming out.
Interesting.
And we'll talk about that a bit because I got a letter about it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, they made like there was a fan film from like 2011, which is apparently quite good. I can't remember. I haven't seen it. And Heath Ledger was rumored for the role before he died.
I guess they could just go to Ballarat and film it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly the same.
Because a lot of it as well, one and two, it's not a lot of desert, really.
Not at all, no.
It's like a lot of shrubbery.
There's so much shrubbery. Yeah. Yeah.
Michael Biehn was talked about as well. He'd be a good Mad Max, actually. Mm. And Jeremy Renner also apparently wanted it, wanted the role.
That could work, sure.
Yeah, totally. Uh-huh. I saw a picture of him, I include this in the video, in his Hansel and Gretel outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of Mad Max-y. Okay, kind sure. of that ridiculous kind of shit.
This has been a long time coming, Fury Road.
30 years.
No, but I mean, like, we saw the first, like, still of Tom Hardy in, like,
ages ago.
Well,
the trailer came out, I think the first trailer came out, like, last July.
Right, right.
But also, they planned to film it in Australia
uh-huh.
in the early 2000s because the Australian dollar was really strong, so it would have made a lot of sense and uh-huh. something. I can't remember for whatever reason. And also, they were going to film it a few years ago in the Australian Outback, and then it flooded.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, uh-huh. so this one isn't filmed in Australia. It's filmed in, like, Namibia or some shit.
Okay.
Some balls country.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Mm.
It's plenty deserty, and that's what I want to say.
That's right.
Also, a guy called Tyrionis is worried that George Miller, he's been doing kids' movies for, like, 30 years.
Great kids' movies. Babe.
Yep.
Can't think of any other ones.
Babe 2, Pig in the City. He didn't direct Babe. Happy Feet. Happy Feet 2.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the Happy Feet movies.
I haven't seen them.
They're okay.
Okay, fine.
I'm just saying there's a reason why they're not thought of as Toy Story.
Right. Well, maybe that's because his passion lies in driving stuff through deserts and shrubberies and blowing stuff up.
I hope
and
so.
And flamethrowers inside school buses, flamethrower and everything. Charlize Theron with weird eye makeup.
Yes.
Just shooting people.
I agree.
Flamethrowering.
Yeah.
Great.
Max isn't so much a hero, is he?
Well, he's mostly a bystander.
Yeah, they don't need another hero. That's established.
That's very much established, sure.
But yeah, he's more just kind of, he's a man trying to survive.
Yeah.
Like he's a scavenger, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is his best and worst haircut?
I kind of like the Thunderdome haircut, like the pre-haircut Thunderdome.
I reckon his first haircut in the first movie is the worst.
It's the crew cut, weird. Yeah.
But it's not even, like the ear bit's too high.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. I guess Mad Max. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about it next week.
When we see it.
Yeah. Do you want to do what we read in?
Yeah, actually, you know what I'm going to be reading?
Hey, we got to do the theme song first.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I say what we read in and you say?
What we gonna read.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today? Go on.
Give me a second, I'm just going
to
bring it up.
All right, what do you want me to talk about? I want to read.
Yeah, what are you going
to
read?
I've been trying to see Ex Machina.
Yeah, okay.
It's supposedly out here, but it's playing nowhere near I live. I even read a review in, like, the Herald Sun, which is a paper I don't normally read, because it's bullshit.
Sure.
But, and they're like, you should go and see this. This is great. 4.5 stars. If it's in the Herald Sun, you'd think it'd be in a cinema.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
I agree with you. No.
I can't see this movie. I've been wanting to see it for like a year. It's not anywhere. It's not on Pirate Bay.
Have you thought about not seeing it?
I have not thought about that.
You should maybe consider that because it might be your only option at this point is to not see
I'm
that
bloody,
movie.
I'm getting all mad goose about
you're
it. Maybe you're right.
So mad goose.
I should let it go.
Just let it go. You'll end up on a bloody Fury Road. And you know where that ends? At a Thunderdome.
Correct.
Yeah. What I'm going to watch is actually on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, but I've heard about it and it's apparently very good, but I haven't watched it. It's called Not Quite Hollywood. It's like a documentary about the Ausploitation films of the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Like all the low budget, weird Australian films, like our own little.
I can't think of any.
No, exactly. See, that's why I'm going to watch it.
I did watch a movie this week, though.
Let
me just screw the cap on this water that I was drinking.
Yes.
It's called Still Alice.
Okay.
It's got Julianne Moore and. What's his name? He's got a giant head.
Steve Bisley.
I wish. Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yes.
Does have a giant head.
Does have a giant head.
It's like a Lego man.
Mm.
He has the proportions of a Lego man. And it's about Julianne Moore's like this this kind of professor of linguistics. And at the age of 50, she develops early onset Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes through kind of her decline and journey and whatever. It's really sad and it's really good. It's good.
Great.
It's not really a comic book thing.
No. Do they use like Lord of the Rings, like perspective technology to make Alec Baldwin's head seem smaller than it is? Or is it just looming there with his giant head?
It's mostly looming.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Look, it's not like a big fun time, but it's a really good movie.
Yeah, so excellent.
That's what I read.
All right.
I mean, watched. Should we go through letters, I guess?
Yeah, let's do letters. All right. I love letters.
This is from Michael from the States. Are you doing nicknames?
Oh,
I'll jump it away. I'll read it, then you can.
Yankee Michael. The only one.
Gem Grabbers. When the new Mad Max video game premiered last year, a lot of people were yelling and strife came about due to Max's lack of an Aussie accent. The game developers then hired a new actor and changed it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. That's fair, because he's supposed to be Australian, mate, right?
Yes.
It'd be like making James Bond Sean Connery. No, yeah, not like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Exactly. I can understand. I don't care, to be honest.
Right.
I can understand why people are upset. Uh-huh. Anyway, now the new Mad Max movie is almost...
Has it ever definitively said it's set in Australia?
Yeah. It is.
Well, it's obviously set in Australia because everybody's got Australian
accent. I don't
know if
anybody says it.
But does anybody says this is bloody Australia, mate?
I don't know. I think you see a sign for Ararat.
Oh, well then, yeah, okay.
And now the new Mad Max movie is almost here. And hello, no Aussie actor in the lead role again, unless I missed it. There is definitely little no outcry about Tom Hardy's lack of Southern Hemisphere credentials. Is this a big deal to Australians? Is Mad Max so iconic that it's abhorrent that a Brit... That's a good word. Mm. That a Brit plays him. Where was Worthington...
That's our word of the week.
Yes, abhorrent. Where was Worthington and Courtney in casting? Thanks, guys. Michael from the States. Mm. I don't want either of those guys, Worthington or Courtney. I think Heath Ledger would have been good.
I wouldn't have turned down Worthington.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Now that I've rewatched these.
Yeah.
And
there's not a lot to it, is there?
There's not a lot to it. There's not a lot of kind of explosive acting required. Yeah. It's mostly just being kind of stoic while things happen around you and occasionally somebody runs over your arm with a motorcycle. So, and he doesn't even react all that much.
Yeah.
So I reckon Worthington would work. But
sure.
I don't know. There's a lot of...
I don't care if he's not Australian, to be honest. Though, hearing the latest trailer,
his
accent's not very good. He's like, my name's Max.
It's
not very good. But I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I think people will be...
Yeah.
People are always... People feel a lot of ownership of stuff like that was initially Australian, but now really isn't. Like
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan, AC/DC.
Yep.
Like that's...
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's not even Australian.
Yeah.
We've disowned him. But he came here when he was like a teenager and then left as soon as he could.
Yeah. But yeah, like AC/DC.
Yeah.
That band's like 3/4 of American now.
Oh, is it?
But now But we're like, AC/DC.
I don't think they're
I think those people will be upset about...
I don't think they're that good. I think they haven't had a good song in about 30 years.
What about Rock and Roll Train? What about
stopping
all stations to rock and roll or whatever it was? What about rock or bust? We're going to do a lot of rock or bust.
Nah, don't care for it.
Won't stop rocking.
Well, they got some good songs, but
yeah,
don't give a shit.
Yeah, they're like Bon Jovi insofar as when they make then they release a new song, it is completely indistinguishable from all their other songs. Like sometimes I'll hear a Bon Jovi song on the radio and I'm like, did they make that in 1985 or did it come out yesterday?
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea.
Was this on Crossroads?
Correct.
Yeah. Good point. Mm. So in summary, do you care if Mad Max is Australian or not?
Nah. I mean, who are we going to get? Steve Bisley? He's probably busy.
He might be.
He's probably really Bisley.
I was going to jump in, but I thought... I'm going
to
let you...
Leave it to the professionals.
You do it, yeah. Okay. Hey, guys. Do you all care about Judge Dredd?
Wait, who is this?
Oh, I've got the name here. God, I'm not good at that sometimes. No. I can bring it up.
Yankee Joe. All right, continue.
Hang on. Oh, do you want to find the name?
No, it's fine.
All right.
Actually, now I do.
Oh, God, just... All right. This is from Sam. A different Sam.
Hmm. Uncle Sam. There we go. Worth the wait, I think.
Definitely. Hey, guys, do you all care about Judge Dredd? And if so, what do you think about the possibility of his death/retirement or something? And do you think if they replace him, they'll just use a clone? P.S. Y'all rock. Keep up the good work.
Is this the comic book Judge Dredd?
I assume so.
I haven't read...
I didn't know that he was...
I haven't read comic book Judge Dredd in many a year.
I don't even think I've ever read a Judge Dredd comic.
It's very... Judge Dredd... Like, it's very rare there'll be, like, an event.
Was it, like, Mad Max-ish?
No, no.
It's future.
Well, I guess the...
They're out the wastelanders.
The wastelands are kind of... when they go on the long walk, which is when a judge is like cast out or they retire.
Yeah, yeah.
They can choose to go on the long walk where they just go out and like try to bring law to the lawlessness.
Yeah.
And get killed, presumably. There's a really good Judge Dredd short film.
Minty,
there we go. We talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that, which is really good. Judge Dredd... Like, the actual event stuff in Judge Dredd, like, it's been going for, like, 30 years or something.
Yeah.
But, like, the actual event stuff is, like, quite few and far between. Mm. Most of it, it's just self-contained stories.
Yeah.
You know, somebody will commit a crime or something that approaches being a crime, and then Judge Dredd will put them in jail for 50 years or kill them. You know, it's...
That's the two
I
things.
Like Judge Dredd.
Me too.
Yeah. Like, he's more he's not really a character more that he's just, like, this satire of... Thatcher's Britain kind of thing, but he's American.
And there's never been a more timely...
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, they're saying that Thatcher's Britain has returned in that UK election.
I hope Dredd comes and kills them all. That's what I'm saying. I quite like Judge Dredd. I'm sad there probably won't be another Dredd movie.
Yeah. Mm. Look, to be fair, if they make another Dredd movie, it will make zero money again.
Correct, yes.
But that's a really great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? I want them to make it, but like you said.
I'm a big fan of all the 2000 AD characters.
Okay, sure.
Those guys. I'd like to see a Rogue Trooper movie. That will never happen.
Don't know who that is.
So he's a blue Rogue Trooper.
He's always having a bloody blue, mate.
Correct.
Great.
Yep.
All right, cool. I like both Judge Dredd movies for different reasons.
The first one's pretty fun. The part where Stallone goes, bleh.
I don't think he ever says that.
No, he does.
He says it multiple times.
Yeah.
This is from Liam. This is specifically to you.
Wait, did we answer that question about Judge Dredd?
Oh, yeah. That might replace him with a clone, I guess, because he takes drugs and stuff, doesn't he, so he doesn't age. Is that right? Because everybody else kind of ages around him.
Oh.
And he kind of stays the same age. That's my understanding of it, because I think I've read a lot of Judge Dredd Wikipedia.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I've never... I've not thought
about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Remember they replaced him with Armand DeSante.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If they kill him in the comic books, they probably only do it like as a one... It'd be like, you know, one of the... Like, you ever see that movie Beer Fest?
Yes.
Where one of the characters is killed.
No, I haven't. Sorry. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, one of the characters is killed and then is immediately replaced by his twin brother who arrives and then insists... Just for convenience sake, that you know, to honor the dead brother, they call him by the dead brother's name. And then the movie continues as if nothing happened. That's what would happen in Judge Dredd, is Dredd would be killed or whatever. And then they would just clone him and replace him and nobody would say anything.
Sure.
That would be... Because that's the character, really. That's the character. It's irrelevant whether he's original or a clone.
If they replace him with somebody, should that person also be stoic?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is to you. This is from Liam.
I'm ready.
He just wants to know why you don't have a YouTube channel. A lot of people ask me that. I think maybe you should address it.
Am I legally required to have a YouTube channel?
Absolutely not. I mean, legally you are.
I'm on your YouTube channel some of the time. That's fine. I got nothing to say on YouTube. I don't know.
All right. A lot of people say it.
If I thought of something to say that would require a visual medium, I'd bloody get a YouTube channel.
You don't have much to say, do you?
No.
Some would argue I don't have much to say either. I think you'd be great if you have one, but you know, it's not something you're interested in.
In the meantime, we've got an iTunes channel.
That's correct.
It's this one.
Where you're pointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this is from this is the last one. This is, first of all, the headline is Dave Coulier confirmed for Full House.
Yes.
Which we know. That means we're going to get a lot of Dave Coulier stories, hopefully.
I hope so.
Because I got one.
Oh, for those who don't know, listeners, we have a very rarely updated segment, which we call Dave Coulier, in which we like listeners to email in stories where former Full House cast member Dave Coulier was mean to them.
Yes.
So if you could do that... That would be great. And now that there's going to be a new Full House series,
I'm just worried that people are going to start sending fake ones.
Yeah, but we'll be able to tell.
We'll know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, this is the latest one. Also, I met Dave Coulier once at a basketball game and I asked him for an autograph, which he gave to me. And as I walked away, I heard him say under his breath to his friends, fucking fans.
Good work. Good work, Dave Coulier. We've brought it back. Love it.
Pretty good, eh?
Oh, so good.
That seems like the kind of thing he would do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why be like that?
I don't know.
Why not be like, you should be happy that people like you?
Yeah.
And you're rich and whatever. And you got that song about you that Alanis Morissette sings. Yeah. I don't know.
We haven't got a song written about us, except for the Weekly Planet theme tune.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. Oh, the Brute emailed in. He said he's going to put something together, like a newish kind of theme.
Oh, interesting.
He's going to do it, the whole big studio deal.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, he had an email. He had something in his email as well.
Hey, did we get this email? You can cut this out. But did you get an email from Stephen Fleshing about an Eddie Murphy story? He said he was going to email. He had an onset Eddie Murphy story.
Eddie Murphy. I'm a bit behind on my emails, to be honest. Okay. Oh, yeah, Stephen, yep. Hey, Dems and Mace, my name is Stephen, writing to you from California. I love the show. I'd especially love when you guys read stories about people's encounters with celebrities. Well, I've got one about Eddie Murphy, star of the classic, much-loved superhero movie, Meteor Man. I don't think that's true.
Might be thinking of Pluto Nash.
Yeah. And yeah, it's my family and I were on vacation in Lake Tahoe. We're on a beach and got to talking to a couple who were next to us. I mentioned to them that I'm a huge movie buff and want to work in the film business. He told me that he used to be a cameraman in Hollywood and worked on Eddie Murphy's Dr. Dolittle. He went on to tell us that Eddie Murphy required in his contract that he have a stand-in or stunt double performed the scenes in which there was an animal. Have we talked about this?
I don't know.
I've talked about this recently to someone. I thought it was a good idea in case it was like a bear or a tiger. Went rogue, like James Bond. He does go rogue, doesn't he? But that's not all. He said that Eddie Murphy was terrified of all the animals, including guinea pigs, squirrels, owls, rats, and monkeys. He said that the finished movie is a result of stunt doubles, painstaking editing, trick photography, and CGI, which makes you have to wonder how desperate the studio was for money that they dealt with all that and still decided to make a sequel. But yes, can I be the official Mr. Furious of the podcast? P.S. I haven't donated any money, so I recommend the podcast to three different people. So get off my back.
Three millionaires? Great.
I hope so. That'd be great.
That is astounding that you would agree to be in a movie entirely about speaking in close proximity to
and
animals.
And touching and...
Yeah, yeah, and you are deathly afraid of all the animals. That's amazing.
You're afraid of any animals?
Only man, the most dangerous animal of them all.
I guess so.
Nah, I'm not afraid of him either. Bloody smash him.
All right, so that's the show for this week. Thank Fantastic. You to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes. Mm. We're big fans of that.
Yes.
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and you're...
At Mr. Sunday Movies.
And if you want to find us as a team, we're weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com if you want to send us an email.
Yep.
At Twitter and on Facebook.
Yep.
We're patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Correct.
Weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com where we got our commentaries up, our movie commentaries.
You can
check do a new one.
Yeah, we should. Do you want to do...
Who has time?
Do you want to do... Why don't we do a Terminator and Jurassic Park are coming up.
Okay.
So why don't we do one of them? Maybe this week at some point.
Great.
Which would you want to do out of them? Do you want to do Terminator 2 or Terminator 1? We obviously got to do...
Let's keep it a surprise.
Okay. To ourselves.
Yes.
We'll obviously only do the first Jurassic Park.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for the listening, everybody. Have a great week, I guess.
Now let's just wander off into the desert. That's how we do this, right? That's how these end. We
sure.
Just sort of peters out and just fizzles away, and then we wander off into the desert. Next week, we'll be back with even bigger mullets. Mel Gibson style.
Grab that gem,
everyone. Grab that gem, guys. Bye.
We don't need another hero. We don't need another way home. All we want is this Discopia.
The Thunderdome.
He did want to go beyond the Thunderdome.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
All right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.